6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Everything is recording. Welcome to the Dead Son Show. We have meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood. It's for fathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless, so nobody's left out. These are the conversations we want our sons to access as they grow through life into manhood, so no topics are off limits. I'm one of your hosts, D. Johns, and today we got a return offender. Mr. Avalon Elliott, what's good, sir?
Hey, man, life is great, man. Life is great. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Absolutely,
definitely,
man.
Definitely an honor.
Absolutely. Avalon was one of the earliest guests on the show. Like, when I started this show after moving to Texas, probably met him within that first year or so. Maybe the first, yeah, for 2021-ish.
Yeah.
2020-21-ish. And just been a brother ever since, man. He does not meet a stranger. Now, you can be estranged after you meet him if you turn him the wrong way. You know, the relationship can go sour. But no, this is a good brother, man. We guess we were neighbors. Well, neighbors, yeah. Again. But we kind of connected at a neighbor's house, and just been rocking, man. So first time we talked about you and your fatherhood, yes, journey, your journey with your father. I think it was "You're Too Difficult to Love." I think is the title. I think it's episode
different. Too different to love.
Yeah, episode between the first 12, I would say, did really well. Then you came back for the identity event. You done anything else? Just those two?
Yeah, it was just those two.
Okay.
Just those two.
Okay. All right. And we've been trying to get this together for a measure of weeks. So we are here now. But how you feeling, man? I always want to start out with a real health and sanity check. Like, how you doing, man?
Man, you know what I'm actually doing? Really, really, really well now, man. A lot of clarity that has popped up in the last year or so. Just with understanding identity,
yeah,
you know, that's been a real big deal, and understanding, mastering the basics in life before dealing with all the complexities, because we deal with a lot of those on a daily basis,
yeah.
And if we haven't mastered the basics, or we're constantly trying to find a sense of normalcy, then here we go, man. But finally, I can actually say it and mean it and be honest about it by saying that I'm okay.
Dope. And I know that to be true, because we have other conversations, like, not like all the guests are on here, but sometimes the guests and I have a relationship in real life where it's not just about the camera. So we do life together. To pulse the audience, because I don't know where everybody comes into the story of this podcast. This is after episode 100, so I'll just throw that out there. 100 is going up the week that this is being recorded, but I'm excited about that. So this is 100 plus, but I am a father of 5, grandfather of 1, husband of 1. Today, my children are 21, 18, 17, 11, and 9 technically, but I got a birthday coming up within the next 48 hours. So my 9-year-old will be 10. What's your story?
I'm a father of 2, husband of 1. son of many. True. My son right now is 10 years old and my daughter is 7, which I can't believe, man. I can't believe that a decade ago, God decided to give me a little human and say, you're responsible for him. And they actually let me leave with that baby from the hospital.
Sure did.
And know nothing.
Sure did. They would. There's one thing they will do is let you leave. They're going to bill you for it, but they're going to let you leave.
They let me leave with that baby, man. And it's remarkable that we say that they knew nothing about it, because my wife and I had that conversation the other day where I told her, I said, you know, some random thoughts that just go through my head. She's like, what's that? I was like, these little people look at me like I got it all figured out. And I don't know nothing about what we doing.
True story. True story. True story. And they'll applaud you no matter what decision you make.
Yeah.
That's the dope part. What's I want to start a little light, man. What are you most excited about, you know, in this stage of fatherhood? What most excites you about where you are in life?
Oh, man, you know what? I'm finally getting to a place to where I can sit back and enjoy fatherhood and enjoy being a husband.
Okay.
In addition to fatherhood, my career path has taken me to a place where I now have freedom in my schedule. It's not hustle and bustle all day long, every day anymore.
Yeah.
And I have time to go and have lunch with my kids once a week. And I have time to take my wife flowers a few days a week while she's at school, or decide to take her to lunch. I did something the other day that I haven't done in a long time. As soon as the kids were out of school, I was like, hey, y'all come straight home. And we went and caught a movie on a weekday.
Nice.
And it was something that we were able to do together and have that sense of comfort.
Yeah.
And knowing that we had the time to do it. I didn't have to rush. I didn't have to do any of that. And I'm really getting a chance to enjoy them in this phase.
Yeah.
And they're actually able to notice and let me know that they enjoy it back. That's the main part. Because before, when I would do all these things for them, they couldn't express their gratitude or how they felt or that they enjoyed it or that they didn't like it. But now it's to the point to where they're noticing everything. And it's like, okay, daddy, I like that. Can you give me more of this?
Yeah.
Can you not give me so much of that?
Yeah.
And that's the exciting part for me right now.
That's dope, man. I remember the stage of having kids clustered and aged together. Now mine are spread out as I reference and, you know, telling the ages, but That is a time to take advantage of, because even though they're 10 and 7 is not the same as 14 and 11 or 17 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to come a time where they're going to have different agendas, and it's not that they don't like that. It's just that they got stuff to do, you know, stuff that they want to do. And hopefully stuff with daddy remains a part of that. You know, I'm trying to implement, daddy daughter dates. Especially my youngest daughter, she actually brought it up, and I realized it was a hole in my, in the way that I, you know, was managing my daughters. Like, they need to understand what it is to be out with a guy, how to be, not that I'm courting my daughter, but just showing the courtesies of being out with a man, and then just having the time to bond and talk about things that you might not talk about, in front of the whole family. So, I love that for you, man. Take advantage of that time. Well, like you said, you can, you know, and salute you for working to that end to position yourself. Cause I know a bit about that too. You mentioned being a husband as well. And that's the core of what we're going to get to, in this conversation, because I think that lacks a lot of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
At least when I was in that stage. And again, I have a great father. I always say I have a great father. The communication he had with me matured beyond what his father had with him and probably beyond generations before, but it wasn't enough. And now we have a lot of conversations now that would be great if we had them before, but the benefit of this platform is having these conversations so that somebody that needs them can access them.
Mm-hmm.
If they wouldn't naturally have it access to it throughout the course of their normal life. So, What does being a husband mean to you today?
Oh, man. You know what? I base it off of 3 P's, man. To protect, to provide, and to preserve. Right? We talk about protection, and most men think, I got to beat on my chest like an ape. I gotta physically be able to show you this. But if I haven't protect, if I'm not protecting my wife emotionally, mentally, spiritually, You know what I'm saying? I pray for my wife often, with her, for her, about her.
Yeah.
In regards to her, I consider my wife in my prayers.
Yeah.
Like it's the evolution of things, because if you would have asked me this 2 years ago, 5 years ago, it would have been totally different. But just the way that, even the way that I pray for her now, is different on that protection side, the hedge of protection that I'm praying that God put around her, even from me. Because if you remember one of our previous conversations, I told you one of the things that I've felt the worst about ever was that my wife had to experience me becoming a man. Right?
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to make sure that I protect her from any further damage.
Yeah.
From that, right? And providing, and it's more than just financially, but providing a safe space for her, providing a space for her to be comfortable in being her.
Yeah.
I finally got to the place to where I didn't want her to mirror my identity. I'm loving you from a place that's outside of my ego now. Right?
Yeah.
If you would have asked me 5 years ago what I wanted in a wife, I want a boss. I want somebody that magnifies my ego. But if you ask me now, I just want my wife to be the best woman she could be for her.
Yeah. And so there's so much to that, in terms of that is, you know, it's admirable to have that trait as a husband. It's the right thing to do, but the amount of peace that can bring into your home is exponential returns on just having that attitude or that approach to it. I had to understand who my wife was. And the thing about it is, and said it on other platforms, on Healthy Marriage is Dope, but every version of you has to accept every version of your spouse every time for it to work. And we don't naturally, that's not natural to us. We want to evolve and become the best version of ourselves, but we don't think about how that looks to our spouse.
Mm-hmm.
We only typically are highlighting what we don't like about how they're evolving, because that's what is front of mind for us a lot of times. And as we mature, that changes. But even now, especially with my wife re-entering the workforce, she was home for 9 years, Lord bless, through, you know, my career to be sustaining. And then it went away, and now we're trying to rebuild it, you know, working on some new things, taking some new opportunities, but it's a process. So she's had to re-enter the workforce, and it irks me every day she gets up and go to work, because right now it's out of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not out of desire. So my goal is to get her back to a place of desire and feeling fulfilled in what she's doing. Doing something that she loves, doing something that's meaningful to her. She does mean she works. She's in a hospital. She, you know, she's in a pharmacy. So it's meaningful work, but it's not, I don't think that's her calling. Mm-hmm. And I want to do everything I can, especially in 2025, to get her back to her calling. But I think that's a real mature view of how you husband today. And I guess we can start with how that, compares and contrast to what you saw growing up.
Mm.
What was your reference as to what a husband is or what it should be? Because it could be two different things. You know, you could have influences telling you, you know, the right way a husband should act, and then you could see it differently. Mm-hmm. So what was your experience, your frame of reference in terms of how a husband shows up?
I was blessed to see it all. You know, what I had in-house was a little different from what I experienced outside of the home. So with my dad has always been a physical protection. He's always been present.
Yeah.
Not perfect by any means, but he was present. I saw my dad when I went to school. I saw him when I came home. But when it came down to how to love a woman, it was a little different.
Yeah.
My dad had a different way of thinking. I pay the bills. I'm home every night. I don't disrespect you. That means I love you. Right. And
gotcha.
And you see that, and you see that go all along, and you keep going down the years of that. But you don't see very much hand holding with mom and dad.
Mm.
You don't see dad coming rub mom's back in mom's hair and say, hey, are you OK today? You don't see a lot of that. And that was a little different for me, because when I first got married, I didn't express all of these things. I was very caring for my wife because I care for her. But in my mind, I didn't have to provide a place for you to develop emotionally or mentally, or even financially, it's my responsibility to take care of it all and to take care of it. And that's how I show my act of love to you. I didn't become a real husband until I got around some real husbands. And I was taught how it really should be. Mm. Now, my aunts were married to my uncles, which showed me some different ways of love, but they were flawed like everybody else. But I was able to take bits and pieces from everyone as it went along. My Uncle James would buy flowers for my aunt very often and do little things like make sure her car was washed and it was gassed up like she liked it, so she never had to reach out a hand for it. He would come in, and the first thing he would do before he would speak to anybody is greet his wife.
Gotcha.
And love on his wife. And that was like, okay, that's how that's supposed to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My uncle Corey, when I was a kid coming up, he and my aunt Monique, they took a lot of trips together. You saw a lot of hand holding with them. You saw him care for her and her care for him. And that was something that I witnessed. So I was able to get the physical protection part from my dad and the present part from my dad, because it was never a time which he wasn't going to let us see him, right, or that we had to worry about, is dad going to be here or not? I didn't have to worry about that. The safety was there, because even if dad wasn't there, he was going to get there quickly. Right. And then I got the loving part from my Uncle Corey, where he and my aunt are holding hands and he's caring for her and loving her out loud.
Yeah.
And then I got the acts of love from my Uncle James, like seeing how he considers her without her even having to ask for it. And she don't have to tell him what she needs, because he's already studied it and considered you, yeah, and in tune with you, and he sees it and he provides it. So that was a big thing. And it was great to get all of that from there, but I didn't tap into it until I was married and I got around some real husbands that reminded me, hey, you have to provide money is nice, provide protection, that's cool too. But until you provide that space for her to be unapologetically her, you ain't really doing it, man.
Yeah. That's the second time you mentioned getting around some husbands that are real husbands. And I think one of the challenges that some men face is when you're in a group, when you got your brothers, like the guys you grew up with, everybody matures at different times. And even if y'all are getting married at the same time, y'all are maturing at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's not always the best example, you to them or them to you. So the importance of actually seeking out examples that have done it, not perfectly, but have done it farther down the road enough to tell you to watch for cars crossing the street, that kind of thing. What was the scenario like with like the people your age that you grew up with? Were they all getting married around the same time? What did you see in terms of like your peers influencing what marriage looked like?
Remarkably, man, when my wife and I got married, it was six of us. Us and our peers, they got married around the same time.
Mm.
Two of us left.
Yep.
They're actually physically standing in our marriage.
Yeah.
So two of them divorced. Two of them are married, but have went on to have separate lives with separate people.
It's on paper.
Yep. Out of the ones that are left, which is myself and my wife, and then our other group, we're right around the same ages. They're going through a phase now where she's lost in the marriage, he's lost in the marriage, and they're trying to figure it out.
Mm.
So the difference between what happened between them and myself was I changed my group of peers. I am no longer having relationships based off of us bonding over a hurtful past. I'm aligning myself with people the people that I want in my future.
Yeah.
I can't do the past thing. So if you look at my group of peers, when it comes down to things, I compartmentalize things. As far as marriage and husbands, when it comes down to that level of thing of thinking, all of those guys been married 20, 30 plus years.
Yeah.
There's almost nothing that I'm seeing right now that they haven't already witnessed or seen.
Yep.
And I'm not afraid to have those vulnerable conversations with them, just like they weren't afraid to expose themselves and have those vulnerable conversations with me.
Yeah.
About not being perfect, about not getting it all to having it all together, but having a progressive path, an intentional path to be better and to get better. What was that thing that you said before we started? There's a big difference between should do and will do.
Yeah, should do and will do. Yeah.
Yeah, I will do better.
A lot of us know what we should do. A lot of us will not do it, though. I want to jump back to a reference you made about your career being in the place now where you have time luxury, more of a time luxury to spend that with your family. What was the process like going from whatever it was before to this? And did your family understand? I know your kids were younger, but did your wife understand it? How did you navigate through? We're here. We want to be in this newer, better phase within X amount of years or whatever that looked like. We want to go from here to there. Did your wife understand it? Were you good about having conversation? I asked because a lot of decisions that I made early were based on conversations that I had with my wife in my head. Mm-hmm. Never actually really talked to her about it, but it was, I think this is the best thing. I think I'm so invested in this decision that I don't want to risk her having a conflicting thought about it. So I just wouldn't bring it to her, which was very immature and caused a lot of challenges early. Cause I realized later in the marriage that she really just wanted to be informed. Mm-hmm. And if she had some input that was questioning what I was doing, it was out of the interest of it being the best result for our family. Had you thought about this? Because I'm one that, if I got an idea, I got an idea.
Mm-hmm. I'm going with it.
I'll have the, you know, the devil's advocate conversation with myself, but that's only limited to my perspective. Mm-hmm. Not something, you know, that could be in very plain sight somebody else could see. But how did you work from where you were not having the time luxury through the plan to get to where you are now, having more luxury that benefits the family?
It involved my wife 100%. I was working backwards when I didn't involve her. Because now not only am I out here grinding and pushing myself to limits that I didn't know I could be pushed to, but now I have to grind and push myself to limits that I didn't know I could be pushed to while keeping it away from the one person in the world that absolutely is going to understand it and going to get it. And I thought I was doing a good thing by trying to keep that pressure off of her and out of her face. And the entire time I was working backwards and not utilizing the gift that I had in front of me, because at the end of the day, when I tried it on my own and God allowed me to fall on my face and for it all to blow up because I didn't include her, when I came back and I told her, I see what's wrong now. I want to get it right. Can you help me with this? Because I believe that if any man was to go to his wife and say, I'm struggling, can you help me? That's really all they want to hear. There is a sense of need. They have to be needed. They want to be needed. That's mm-hmm. what wives are there, to truly be helpmates. And when I told her, hey, this is my plan and this is where I want to go and this is what it's going to look like, it's going to be really tough for me, but I'm built for this. I would break down at the end of every day. I would come home missing pieces of me from the work that I put in. And she was the one that helped patch me back up and put me back together and send me back out there again. Mm. And I can almost guarantee that she prayed for me while I was out there, that she sat in moments of meditation thinking of me while I was out there. I got the messages of prayers that she was sending to me while I was out in the world doing that work. And I know a lot of people don't consider what we do in real estate to be heavy lifting or heavy work. Mm. But it was a time where I was working so hard that the first thing that I would do in the morning, as soon as I would realize I was alive and I was awake, would be to have an anxiety attack. Mm. And that was very heavy. And the only person in the world that felt it at that time that I thought was my wife, right? Until one day, because I actually have those daddy-daughter dates you talk about. Until one day, in a not so recent past, my daughter was riding with me and she said, Daddy, I don't want you to die. Mm. I was like, huh? What makes you say that? She said, because daddies that work a lot die.
And she's not too far off from the
narrative of what was playing and taking part at that moment, because I was pushing so hard. And that's when I decided to make that difference. Hey, sweet pea, I got some people. That's what I call my wife. Hey, sweet pea, I'm gonna have to hire some folks. I'm gonna have to get some real help in here with what's going on. Can you take that off my plate for me? Sure. That was easy.
Yeah. Told you, man, it's typically the conversations in our head that either impact the timeline of actually having a real conversation with our spouses or whether we have them at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to look, I think for me, it felt weak to not have the answers.
Mm.
And also in my career, I felt like I always had to be on.
Mm-hmm.
I was a minority in, you know, growing through leadership. And then when I got to the top of the leadership chain within my organization, I didn't realize how much stress it was on me that I was carrying, because my margin for error was so slim. I knew that I couldn't perform the way other people performed to be okay. I knew if we went to happy hour and everybody got wasted, I still had to show up.
Well, 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The people were calling out, and it was a joke, and it was funny that so-and-so was so wasted that he couldn't come in. Mm. I used to work a full day because I've been in international work for Department of Defense, Department of State, the majority of my prior corporate career. And I would work 8 to 9 hours in the office, come home, look at my family, have dinner, and jump right back on the computer, because people halfway around the world, Afghanistan, Iraq, parts of Africa, were now coming online. And it used to cause me so much angst to wake up to 80 emails.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that it was 80 emails and me doing something wrong. It was just that they were now on the clock. Somebody was always on the clock that had an issue that either came to me or my team. And now being out of that life has helped me realize the importance of slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
Actually knowing my family.
Yep.
Not just financing my family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got this event. I might make it. I might not.
Mm-hmm.
I got daddy got to go on the trip. And that was another thing. I traveled so much that it actually impacted my ability or my desire to solve problems at the house. Because if it was a tough week or a tough conversation need to be had, I knew I was traveling in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I could ignore it for a couple weeks, leave for a couple weeks. Now we're a month out
mm-hmm.
from the problem, but the problem is not actually resolved. What's important to you in terms of what your son sees? I know, you know, we talked about, we have, sons and daughters, but are you conscious of how your actions are shaping your son?
Definitely. He watches more than anybody in the house.
Very observant.
Because my son is a little different. He's not going to say much until he has something to say. So he may see me grabbing the doors, checking him at night. He may see, daddy comes and prays with us every night. So he watches and he won't say anything until we're alone. When we're having our day out, as my son called it, we handle grown man's business. That's a big deal. His mom say, where'd you go with daddy? We were handling grown man's business. Well, what'd you do? Business.
Top secret.
Oh, she's like, oh, you ain't gonna tell me? No, because if you tell, you get fired. And if you get fired, you can't come back. So he understands the
I like it.
The safety that he has to be able to speak with me about what he needs to speak with me about. And it goes no further than daddy.
Yeah.
Daddy's that brick wall where it stops at. So that door is open. And every night before he goes to bed, or if I come in late and he's sleeping, I still pray over my son. And he has this remarkable talent he's had since he was a kid that even when he's sleeping, he can hear what I'm saying to him. So as I'm praying for him out loud and over my son, by the time I finish, he always says, amen. As that's done, or I tell him, greatest man in the world, greatest dad in the world. And that's just our little insider on how we're doing things. And when he hears me say, I'm going to work, what does that mean? He's like, I'm the man of the house. Okay. But not only is he seeing that, he's seeing daddy, there's no gender specific roles in our house.
Hmm. So that was a, can I call up? I guess it was a point of contention in my house. Another one of those absent conversations, because I was mimicking what I saw in my parents' house mm-hmm. coming into my marriage. And Keisha, I don't know if she would call it mimicking, but her behaviors were based on what she saw.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have gender-specific roles in her house. We definitely had gender-specific roles. Like, my mother would never be behind a lawnmower. Because she was incapable, but just my dad was like, no.
That ain't happening.
Not happening. And at any expense. And even when he was, you know, out for surgery, that it was on me to do it. Like, there was never an expectation. Now, I do remember having to rake the yard with my sister when we were both young.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, once she went to college, actually before that, I can't even remember her doing that in high school. I think it was just the fact of I wasn't old enough or strong enough to do all of it by myself. So my mm-hmm. dad would cut, we had to rake the lines up. But how does that play out in your house? Was that different for either of you growing up? Like, how did you get to the agreement where they're not, you know, if you, what Keisha says in their house, if you see it, do it.
Yeah.
I don't be seeing stuff.
Oh, nah.
I be seeing stuff, but I don't be seeing stuff. But how did y'all get to that?
There's a sense of urgency in my home coming up. So we came up with two different ways of living. My mother-in-law still to this day cooks, cleans, does everything for my wife. She didn't have to lift a finger for anything. Mm. Myself, on the other hand, in my household, four children and everything else, if you see a dirty dish in their kitchen, it better not be a dirty dish in their kitchen by the time you walk away from it. You don't put off anything for tomorrow that you can do today. And they were real serious with that. So it gave me a sense of urgency when it came down to things. And now, granted, I've never seen my mom push a lawnmower or rake a yard or anything like that. But I watched her take care of everything else almost by herself. Because I told you, my dad, he made the money. Here you go.
Yeah.
I take care of the what I feel like is the manly stuff, and everything else is on you. So not only have I watched my mom work, I watch her work. I watch her get all the kids together. I watch her find a way to put a meal together, make sure we get bathed, make sure we get ready for school. Oh, it's a project that was due. It's for y'all. Let's do this. So I've watched her do all of these things, and I saw the way it broke her down. So I remember being a kid saying, man, when I get married and I get a wife, she's not going to have to worry about doing all of this stuff by herself. So if you notice, when you come to my home, who do you notice cooking most of the time?
We'll be on it.
So I'll cook, I'll clean. If it's something that needs to be done, I'm going to jump in there and do it. I'm not going to put all that on my wife, because it's already two full-time jobs taking care of the kids and another full-time job and a half taking care of herself. And being the caliber men that we are, it's not easy being married to us.
Right.
That is a job. So I'm going to put all that on you and the responsibility of feeding us, cleaning the house and making sure it's sanitary, making sure our clothes are together and everything else. Nah, I'm going to jump in there with you, especially now that I have the time to do it.
Right.
Because there's a shift now. And it was something that you said when you spoke about Keisha going back into the workforce. My wife just went back into the workforce. She decided that she wanted to go after her passion, which is education, special needs education at that. And by the time she comes home, she's drained. She don't have it. She don't have anything in her anymore. So I make it the ladies that I work with, they laugh at me all the time. They was like, what time? Oh, it must be around 2:00. I say, why you say that? We heard dishes going. We heard mop water. We heard, you know, and it, I want her to come home to a home cooked meal. I want her to come home to a clean home. I don't want you to have to do anything but come and get yourself together. So I have the clothes laid out for her to take a shower and change after she's left school, because she don't want some germs in the house. Food is done. I got everything ready for the kids and the activities for the day, no matter what it may be. And we're going to rock and roll this thing. I got to take care of you the same way you took care of me.
I love it. Learning some lessons too. You're making me look bad. You're inspiring me. I shouldn't say make me look bad. And that's one thing. How long you been married?
10 years, man.
I knew the answer.
Decade.
Yeah.
Damn.
10 years. We're in year 20. It'll be 20 for us, March of 2025. So one thing I'm having to be more conscious of is what I'm taking for, what I've taken for granted, and not slipping back into get along, go along, you know, just, you know, it's here today, it'll be here tomorrow. Especially with health challenges, it made me more aware of how fragile life really is. Through those 10 years, like what's been the one of the most challenging parts of being a husband specifically, and what caused the shift to get to where you are today?
It became a God thing. That was the biggest part. I was trying to do this based off of self, and it didn't work. Trying stuff, don't work. Trying it, don't work. And the biggest part was I made the mistake of thinking that there was two people in a marriage.
Mm. Only. Yeah.
And that wasn't the case. It wasn't a God thing, because if I'm looking to you and if I'm looking to her and she's looking to me and we're going like this, we're just bumping heads.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm looking at God and she's looking at God and we going up,
we meet at the top. Yeah.
And that was the biggest thing, because when it was just a me and her thing, I was able to count all her flaws and look at all her flaws.
Obvious.
This is a problem and that's a problem. And not only look at them, but spoke about them. You know, not that she needed me to point those out to her, but spoke about them to her. But when it became a God thing, I stopped seeing my wife for just being my wife, and I started picturing her as the God's daughter. I got to take care of her the way God see her, and try my best. So even if I'm looking at her, and I have a problem, I got to look past her and look at the way God's standing behind her and seeing her, which is perfect in His eyes. So that's it. And I realize I'm never going to get a finished product. God would never give you a finished product in your spouse. And marriage is a magnifier. Whatever you are struggling with the most is going to be magnified and exposed in your marriage. I've been living with all types of difficulties all of my life. And because I lived with them all of my life, it was considered normal. Right? But then when I got married to my wife, who had been living a totally different life all her life, she like, that ain't normal. How dare you expose what I've lived with all this time and thought was normal to not be normal?
Yeah.
But then when I realized that it was an exposure and it was only going to make me better, now when it's pointed out that this ain't right, I have a chance to fix what I never knew was broken.
Hmm. Man, so where would you consider yourself now in that journey? You solved the financial, I won't say the financial problem. You solved the earning solution. You have an earning solution that affords you more time. What are some things, like, because we're never a finished product, that means the husband's included. Like, what is God revealing to you at this phase?
I have to be very intentional of where I allow myself to go.
Mm. Yeah.
So remember when you heard me, and I'm not just talking about where I travel to, don't be in this club, don't be over there. I mean, like, who I allow myself to be around, what energies I allow myself to feel, even my intrusive thoughts. I can't go certain places because I have to consider my wife every single moment of my day.
Yeah.
Everything. That's that protection piece that we don't speak about a lot as men. The decisions that I take today. I arrived at my home, and when I arrived at my home, there was a car that pulled up in front of my house right behind me. Now, growing up how I grew up, and my mindset, what's going on here? Let me see what's going on. So I'm looking out of the window. Guy's looking back out of the window at me. I roll the window down. Everything all right? He's like, yeah, man, I thought you was following. What he said? I thought you was looking at me like you was crazy or something, man. And as I see him opening his door, he had a whole weapon on him. I had to consider my wife and my family in my approach to that situation. And that is their form of protection, because what does life look like for them if I am not here for harming this man or having this man harm me? So I have to be considerate of them in every single moment of my life. My 4 miles a day that I do, either on the trail or in the gym, guess what? Considering them. Am I about to eat this bag of Cheetos that I'm seeing right here? Or am I about to choose something that's going to be more healthy for me in order to preserve life for myself, in order to protect them? Considering them. Because I can't tell you, like, I look at what's out there, man. The dating pool is trash.
Piss and poop all in it.
Okay, so if I'm gone and my wife got to experience that, because she's a beautiful woman, she's not going to be alone forever. She got to experience that. I'm not going to take care of me, and I'm going to leave it up to her to go and experience that for nothing in this world. So therefore, I take care of myself and I do things different. So that's the part that I'm at right now. How do I become more considerate of me?
Yeah.
And as a lateral effect, my wife and my children get a better person.
Yeah. I always want to highlight the health implications, because that's where I'm at in life. But like, I had to slow you down a couple times. You don't always tell me about it in real time. You be like, remember last week I was in the hospital? I don't. Never talked about that, especially be pre-diabetic, man. That was my diagnosis in 2018. Moving from overseas back, we lived in Dubai for 3 years, and I was constantly like being promoted. I was just constantly taking on more responsibility, and I was preparing to come back to the States, coming back to Texas where we didn't live, where we're not from, and I was just stressed, and I was having all these symptoms that I was ignoring, and I came back. And I came out to Texas and started working, and I went home for a wedding. One of my brother's younger sisters, like my little sister, got married. And my mom was just looking at me. She was like, something's wrong about you. And my mom made the appointment. Mm-hmm. Now I'm 38 at this time. Yeah, 38 years old, big age. My mom makes an appointment with the doctor for me. And they go in. And I'm telling him, yeah, I think it's my prostate. I think it's this and that. And he's just looking like, you fool. Taking blood tests, urine samples and all that. He said, I think you're diabetic. I was like, nah, I think it's my prostate. I think, you know, because my dad had prostate cancer. And I'm sure, man, I was basically on my way into a coma. My A1C was 17. My blood sugar was high fours or low fives. He was like, did you drive here today? Yes, sir, I did. He cannot drive home. So like, those moments are some of the defining points in our life where we realize how fragile things are. And it was one of those deals where it was like, I could actually not be available to be a father or a husband going down the path I was going. Mm-hmm. So I had to make some changes. So I hope that you're taking these. I know you take them serious, but the messages to the listeners, the number one, man, get checked out.
Yes.
And when you get checked out and they tell you what's going on, take it serious, because that's why I lapsed. I got this under control. So now this is my second fight with it, trying to get things under control. Ask you about what are you excited about in terms of being a father, but what excites you about being a husband today?
Ooh, man, this version of my wife that I'm getting right now.
Keep it clean. I'm saying.
Well,
yes. Well, hey, but, I hear you. I hear you, big dog.
Well, hey, look, I'm always excited about that version.
I hear you, big dog.
But no, man, like, she's blossoming. Mm. She's blossoming as her. I can tell by the way she does her makeup, the different clothes she decides to wear. She walks with a different walk now. She speaks with a certain ump about her now.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it. That's what I'm most excited about, and seeing just seeing how that blossom is going to look when it has been completed, or as it's going throughout its process, because it's never going to be completed, man. I thank God for the lifetime he's going to give me with her, to be able to see all of the different developments, because like every other plant, you know, there's a season of growth and there's a season of blooming and there's a season where you have to shed things. And I've watched her through those growth spurts and through the shedding. And this is the blossom that has just boomed, man. Like, for instance, so God blessed us with being financially sound pretty early on. We were really young when we first got success. And we thought that, man, we don't need college. We don't need this. We don't need that. And my wife was determined to go back and get that. And I watched her study. I watched her do those assignments and the replies and everything else, man. And I'm very excited to say that this week, while you're releasing your 100th episode, my wife is getting that degree.
Dope.
She is getting that degree, man. And by the time she sees this, she'll hear about what the plans are. And I actually have a stage set up at the house.
Okay.
Because of how it's going, she got to wait to walk and do all that stuff. But I have a stage set up at the house. And the day that she completes, we're going to have us a whole little mini graduation.
Dope.
Right there at the house with our friends and our family in order to celebrate her and her accomplishment, man. But that's a part of that blooming, that blossoming that I was telling you about, because so many times our wives get so lost up in being wife and mommy that she forget that she is her.
She is her.
She is her. You, man, you are her. You are that one, and you have your own identity outside of us. And when they tap into that identity that's outside of mom, like she had to go through a period where she learned who she was. Not mommy, not wife, not daughter, not, you know, niece, no, you, Denisha. Go be Denisha.
Yep.
And thank God that he has put us in a place where you ain't got to worry about home. Money's good. I can cook, so we're going to eat. I can clean, so it ain't going to get out of order. We have a huge support system with the children, so you don't have to worry about that. Take some time and go do you.
Yep.
And get you together. So if you tell me I need a year to focus on me and to get me together,
got it.
Girl, go do your thing.
Dope, man. I hope it comes across as I'm interpreting it in real time what this conversation is doing. As we wind down, man, there's possibly some young brothers, some sons that are moving into fatherhood and moving into that next step of being a husband. Not in that order, but just the steps of life. I mean, how you live is how you live. Happens different for all of us. But what advice would you give them that you wish you had when you were moving into those phases?
Ooh. Thing number one, it's okay to not be okay.
Talk about it.
It is okay to not be okay, man. If you're trying to figure it out and you feeling overwhelmed, talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Get you a group that you could talk to, or get you a person, man. Get you a counselor.
Yeah.
Because we've all experienced some trauma that came from drama.
Yeah.
We've all experienced some trauma that we didn't have the tools to work through.
Yeah.
So go get that help. Go get that help and, you know, learn that it's okay to not be okay. You just can't stay there. Thing number two, it takes what it takes.
None less.
It takes what it takes, man. If I don't care how you have to get there, just get there. And it takes what it takes. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed of your path, because everybody's path is not going to be the same.
Yep.
Do not feel like you have to know it all, because you are not expected to know it all. Get the resources so that you can know as much as you can, but you do not have to know it all. And you don't have to be in a place to know it all. It's okay to make mistakes. Children are resilient.
Yeah.
They are resilient. They're less likely to remember the mistake, but more likely to remember your attitude towards it.
Yep.
And your actions towards it.
Yep.
So, hey, look, you know what? I've apologized to my 10-year-old and my 7-year-old more than I've probably apologized to anybody else in life. Yep. Hey, daddy got that wrong. I apologize.
Missed that one. Yep.
And we have to do it. An apology is necessary. You're gonna give a lot of them. You're going to give a lot of them. And if you can't seem to find a way to put it into words, write it in a letter.
Yeah.
Get it out in some type of way, but you make sure that apology is given, because sometimes you can't go back off some things. And the very last thing that I will tell you, because there's so much in a plethora, but this is one of the most important things. Do not lose yourself. Mm. Do not lose yourself. I'm at a place in life right now where I don't care who I lose. It just won't be me. It
won't be me.
That was the hardest battle ever, to find me again and to get back to me. But as long as I understand who I am and what my walk is and what my path is, yep, then I'm not going to be overwhelmed with being a husband or being a father or being an entrepreneur or being a career man or any of those, as long as I know my identity and I can stand in my identity strong. So keep that intact. Remain who you are. It's okay to not be okay. Here's a virtual hug, my brother. I love you. I care about you. You are enough. You will always be enough, and you are perfectly made in the way that God wants you to be. Mm.
Very dope. Very dope. As I always do, never said like, share, and subscribe early enough in the program. And I'm saying it now. Like, share, and subscribe. I don't even want to end it any different than that, because the way you left it is where I want the audience to leave this conversation. So with that, we appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.